I'm Stuart Desmond Scott. I'm the third member of the Scott family. That is the Archibald David Scott, my father, and Ethel Emily Rosa Scott, who was Nee Lovelace, married in 1925 by the A.S. Bryant, the local rector at the time, and that was his first marriage of his tour of service here. I belong to a family of eight of us. Unfortunately, three are no longer with us here. I've got an older brother who is 78, my older sister is 77, and two younger sisters, which are 63 and 61. Elizabeth, of course, is in New Zealand, and Mabel, the youngest, the baby of the family, is in Poole in Dorset. I'm still keeping everybody. I've still got a high interest in Upway, and I've just been round the exhibition here today, talked to lots of people from years ago, and I'm really very impressed with the whole thing. And Sue Virgin in particular, as of course my growing up remembers a little tiny girl, the last of the Virgin family, has been a credit to Upway and possibly Broadway. There's been lots of new faces in Upway. A lot of the old ones have gone. I'm past over my 70 now, thanking the Lord for every day I've got. Going back to my mother's, she was the Upway girl who my father met at Weymouth and eventually married. He was in the Royal Marines. She was a local country girl in service around Upway. Quite a naive upbringing, if you like, but she was from a family of about eight. Regrettably, she'd lost a brother and sister as children, but they all lived to, the other ones lived to into their 60s. Upway itself, of course, has got a, I can't get out of my system, it is my home. Wherever I go, they say, where do you come from? I say, Upway, Weymouth. I don't refer to Weymouth as my home, where I live now. Upway is my home, and I went to school here at this school for a year, and then I went to Broadway St. Nicholas, and then on to the Weymouth Boys Central School. I left at the age of 15 and went into the post office. I worked for a couple of jobs. One was a local fishmonger here, Tom Wagstaff, and Jack Gale, a builder at Broadway. I finally went into the post office at 16 and a half as a telegram boy on the cycles and motorcycles, and then into the army for 2 years in the infantry. Again, this is a little incident which really did impress me. A local boy, Upway boy, by the name of Ken Osmond, and anybody from Upway will know Ken Osmond. He had a sister and his mother and father, of course. George Osmond was a bell ringer at the church here. And Ken was gone and went to the army just before me, and he came home on leave, and I saw this very, very smart chap, and I thought, well, that's a regiment for me. That's where I ended up, the same regiment as Ken, and he was in the Grenadier Guards, and I followed him in. He was in the 2nd Battalion, I was in the 3rd Battalion. Sometimes I think back now, where my father served 27 years in the Royal Marines, that I should have probably gone a little bit that way. But anyway, it's water under the bridge. It was a wonderful experience. I was in the Middle East for 16 months of my 2-year service. Although it wasn't the best of postings, I saw plenty of sand, camels, etc. Not too much else, certainly not the Sphinx or the pyramids, which I regret, of course. But it was an experience, and of course it does turn you from a man to a boy. My apologies, from a boy to a man. If anybody knows about the Guards, of course, which has got quite a high reputation in this country, you think you might be a big fella and you chuck your weight about 18, but when you walk through the depot gates at Caterham, you are just a tiny little midget. And of course you do see some very, very big men in the guards. Of course there's five regiments of foot guards and there's two regiments of horse guards. Anyway, on back from that, after coming out of the 2-year service with the guards, I went back to the post office. Wasn't too happy with that, but I stuck it. I was a postman for 22 years, cycling postman and a driving postman. Then I decided, because there was some young element of staff waiting to get on the promotion, And I thought to myself, I'd better make a move to get on the promotion, otherwise I'd be passed by. So I did. And I became a postman higher grade after a few months of training. And eventually I became a supervisor. The old days they used to call it assistant inspector, but they changed the titles to PED, which is the lowest post office executive group. That was a good experience, and I think it may be perhaps my makeup, my first sign, if you like, that supervising people was an element of my desire, if you like. And I did that from 1980 to 1990. And then I retired, of course, and I've been on retirement ever since with my wife, who's not too well these days, and she's from the island of St. Helena. And that is another little story whereby I met my wife in 1955. She was training to become a teacher. She was a teacher actually before she left the island of St. Helena. But she had to qualify to get the certificate, and she came to Weymouth Training College, Teachers Training College, which she had to do 2 years at. And of course, I met her, and it was very, very funny because I don't know if many people know that, but this particular game was whereby I used to go to the local St. Mary's Church in Weymouth, and some of the students used to go there. And of course, I went to a social at the church hall afterwards, and they had this game of spinning a dustbin lid. And the person spinning the dustbin lid had to call out the opposite sex name of a person. And all of a sudden, my name got called out. Well, my sweetheart, Diana Joshua, her name as it was then. And really speaking, we've been married coming up to 40 years. And she's not too well these days, but it's been a wonderful marriage. And we've got four lovely, lovely children. A son, a daughter, and two more sons. They're all in their 40s now, and one thing I must say, they've all grown up closely in contact with each other. And there's not been any animosity. They've all got good jobs. They went to Hardy School. It's difficult to understand that, but the headmaster at the local White Regis School, where the elder son and the rest were going, said that Hardy's would be his school. We were a little bit concerned because of the distance of travelling expense, etc. He said, no worries whatsoever, it'll all be taken care of. And our eldest son, Martin, went to Hardy's, went up to the sixth form. The middle son, Ian, went to Hardy's, and the youngest son, Graham, went to Hardy's. Then he transferred to the Weymouth Grammar School. Our daughter, who is not an academic, or I'd say that with the tongue in my cheek, because she went to All Saints, which is a very, very good school. She became head girl of All Saints School, and then went on to the technical college to do shorthand typing. And her first job at the local Weymouth police station, she was told she was overqualified to be a shorthand typist. Anyway, she ended up, to cut a long story short, she ended up as the chief constable's secretary. And she did that for about 5 years. She's now retired, assisting her husband in the battle tours, First World War battle tours. And that is, she's quite highly engaged with that. But they've all stuck together. My youngest son is in America. He's a chartered accountant. The middle son is in theatre design and management. And the eldest son did 10 years with the Halifax Building Society, and he's also in a financial business of his own. So we thank the Lord for our blessing, and we take a day at a time now.
What do you remember about your early childhood?
My early childhood in this particular school was being actually dragged in the school. Without exaggeration, I must have been just over 4 to 5, and the back door, as I call it, they were dragging me literally through the door. Anyway, eventually they got me through, and I did settle into school, although I am certainly not a scholar of any degree. And this particular room we're sat in now was our classroom, and Miss Lunn was our teacher. And I certainly recall the mornings where there was school lessons, etc., etc. And in the afternoon, they used to bring the little bunks out, and we all had a little sleep on the bunks, which, of course, been my curse of life, if you like, because I always have my little sleep in the afternoon. But in saying that, of course, it's purely because when I was in the post office, I started work at 5 o'clock, so I used to be up at 4. So I had to recoup some period of time of sleeping, and that's what it stayed with me throughout my life, that sleeping habit, if you like. But no, I stayed at Upway School for about a year, and then went to Broadway St. Nicholas School with Mr. Coombs, headmaster. I was in Miss Ward's class as an infant and went on through there till the 11 plus, and then I got through to the central school. Not quite clever enough for the grammar, but there you go. And then went on, and of course, luck as it is, I had to do an extra year, because at the time the school leaving age was 14, and they extended it on the 1st of April, I think it was 1944, for another year. So anyway, it didn't do me a great deal of good, because I was never into schooling. I enjoyed the sports, etc. And then, like I said before, I went into a couple of jobs locally here in the village, Upway and Broadway, and then on to Weymouth Post Office, which of course has been my career, if you like. And I was fortunate to be in the right place at the right time, because they do say, and bearing in mind that when you're in a post office the size of Weymouth, it's a small office, 100 odd staff, you are waiting for dead man's shoes. I was a postman, driver, postman, and then postman higher grade, got on the acting supervisors list, eventually got made PED, the old rank of assistant inspector, and then luck would have it, if you like, or fate, I was a PEC, in charge of the office for 18 months, and then I retired in 1990, and I thank the Lord for the period of time I've been on this earth since.
What sort of changes happened in the post office over your working life?
In the post office, of course, we went from a blue uniform to a grey uniform, but they soon reverted back to the blue uniform. There's ongoing changes in the post office all the time. Now, of course, the discipline when I was in the post office was based on military discipline. Regrettably, I regret to see it, that now, of course, there's a lot to be desired for the post office. They still do a good job. They're basically a little bit out of touch with the volume of mail they get, because they deliver a lot of circular stuff, and I don't think they can. They've adjusted to that situation, but I think they've got that in hand.
You talked about delivering telegrams.
Yes.
Can you explain that? Because it's not
yes.
something that's done anymore,
when I was prior to leaving school, I delivered telegrams from the Upway Post Office, Miss Dunn, Miss Corbin, and Miss Dunn, of course, on a bicycle. I had a made-up bicycle, and used to. And Nottingham was one of the places we had to deliver to. Regrettably, on the way back from delivering telegrams at Nottingham, I was by the gasometer, which is no longer there at Broadway. I saw this elderly person going to cross the road, and I swerved onto the other side of the road and went into a bunch of cyclists and ended up in the Weymouth Hospital. Well, actually, it wasn't the Weymouth Hospital. It was a teacher's training college used as a hospital during the war, because the Weymouth and District Hospital had been bombed. This was way before, of course, my wife's time there. And that was an experience. Of course, I did look in the... I was in a bed, the children's ward. The bed over the head, on the headboard, if you like, had Bo Peep on it. And it was a chromium plate. And I looked into the plate, and of course I had black eyes, etc., through the accident. And I wondered who I was. But that is what I can recollect of that incident.
Yes. So what sort of numbers of telegrams were sent in those days?
Well, not that many. I mean, Miss Dunn's, which would be, you know, would be, I could sit in there and probably only get one or two possibly, but very, very few. When I was a telegram boy, real, if you like, at the Weymouth post office, on the cycle and then onto the motorcycle, then of course we used to go out to Ringstead and White Nose. Of course, White Nose is the high cliff outside of Weymouth. That was our farthest point that way. And Abbotsbury, of course, Langton Heron and so on. And then, of course, the volume of telegrams were more. The distant ones, of course, used to be dealt out with by the motorcyclists, and the local to hand ones were dealt with the cycling telegram boys. But you actually weren't called telegram boys at that time. You became junior postman. They did away with the telegram boy title, and you became junior postman, and that was the rank I held until I went in the army.
Right. Well, thank you.
All right, Bill. Thank you. All right.